Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party book. I had a tune picked out, but it's not playing, so now I'm going to give you an opening tune, and I'm going to play you an Irish tune called The Nation Once Again. And we're going to be singing that song very, very shortly.
We have late breaking news that we're going to open.
Let's do it again.
When boyhood's fire was in my blood, I read of ancient free men, of Greece and Rome who bravely stood, 300 men and free men. And then I prayed I yet might see our fetters rent in twain, and shine that solemn starlight. It seemed to watch above my head through foreign fields and fane. Its angel voice sang round my bed, a nation once again, a nation once again, a nation once again, and Ireland
That's an Irish lamentation. They lost their country to the British, and it took them at least 300 years to get their country back. And that could very well happen here, because history has a way of repeating itself. And you could ask the Romans at the height of their power, if they ever thought that Rome would be put to the sword. Adolf Hitler, just before he blew his brains out, said the people that took an oath of loyalty to him deserved to die because they did not win. And then he took the easy way out because he didn't want to hang around with the Russians. And now the Russians are on the move again. And guys like Mike Savage thinks Putin is a savior. He says the Pope is a communist, which he may very well be, but he's also a Catholic. So he's got a conflict of interest. But Putin is not a communist. I call him the KGP. Instead of the KGB, the KGP, because he came here, he looked at Obama, gave Obama his list of when the timetable for leaving Afghanistan. And he also gave Obama his marching orders to get out of Iraq. And of course, you don't believe that, but I tell you where it's. I can tell you where it is, where the proof is. It's on Valerie Jarrett's server. Why don't we get Valerie Jarrett's server and just pick out the communications to Iran? Yeah, wouldn't that be interesting? Okay, so my headline tonight is World War III is starting and everybody is blaming you. That's from The Russians Are Coming, The Russians Are Coming. Remember the story about the Russian submarine that had a surface and the little town rallied all their guys with shotguns and rifles and they were going to take on the entire Russian submarine. And then everything went well. Everybody fell in love and they all lived happily ever after. And then while the Americans were sweeping, the Russians killed them all. Oh, they cut that out. They edited that out from the movie. We're in trouble. We're in big trouble. We got blood moons. We got popes. We got world leaders. All came to the USA during Eid al-Adha and during the Jewish holidays. And they all came. This America is becoming a Bible story. But most of them came, and the Chinese were here too. They came to see what they're going to get when they win the war. I like New York. I love New York. Yes. Yeah. New York is going to be Phnom Penh. They're going to march everybody out of the city. Yes, this is too good for you. You go to Gulag. Israel is now boxed in. And very shortly will be denied fight back status against Iran. They should have struck as soon as Obama and his Communist Front signed their death warrant. And that is why the Soviets and the Chinese are rushing in to seal off Israel's options. The only difference between KGB and Stalin is Stalin is in boiler number three with Ted Kennedy. But Putin is here with us, live. You do know that the Democrat betrayers of Israel warned Iran that the Israelis had made refueling plans with Azerbaijan. After the bombing mission over Iran to wipe out the nuclear factories, they were going to refuel in Azerbaijan and then return home. You did not know that, did you? They were tipped off. So what do you think the Iranians did? They said, Azerbaijan, do you want to die? And they said, no. He said, you killed this deal. Do not allow the Israelis to land and refuel. And I'm sure Azerbaijan, whose heart was not in the right place, it was in the wrong place, said, sorry, Israel, it's either you or us, and we like us. Yeah, Obama clued Iran in. That's when our intelligence was working against the country. Are they still doing that now? No, they're just not intelligent anymore because they missed this entire invasion. They had no idea, absolutely no idea, that the Russians were moving so quickly. 36 bombers they got there, fighter bombers. Yes. And the Chinese are bringing an aircraft carrier, which they bought from the Russians and finished it off. You know what they told America when they bought it from the Russians? It's going to be like a Carnival cruise line. And the Americans went, oh yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. We're ready for anything. We were ready more in the 50s. I know people that had bomb shelters in the 50s. They built them in their backyard. One guy I remember, he had an auto parts store in Malone, New York, when they were building the St. Lawrence Seaway. He went and bought one of the big culvert pipes and he buried it in his backyard and turned it into a fallout shelter. We used to play duck and cover in schools. Now the kids are just getting sex education. Yes, here's your diploma, Johnny. Here's a condom. Go on your way. Yeah. It's unbelievable. A guy called Mark Levin tonight and said, September 30th kicked off Hitler's invasion of Poland. Hitler and Stalin, you know, Jimmy from Brooklyn says the Russians are big on dates. The communists, international communism is big on dates. Like Lenin's birthday is coming up. And they like to do big events on the on certain birthdays. And so when we talking? We were talking that a guy called Mark Levin and said September 30th kicked off Hitler's invasion of Poland. And Hitler and Stalin had made a deal to split Poland between them. You cannot trust the Russians. You cannot trust the Russians. If you don't believe me, ask the 6,000 Polish officers that are buried in the Katyn Forest. Yes. And ask all the Polish underground that were told by the Russians, we're outside of Warsaw. We're right outside. We're getting ready to come in. Rise up against the Nazis, and we will be with you shortly. And they rose up against the Nazis, and the Russians waited until the Nazis killed the Polish underground. And then they went in and killed who was left. Yeah, you cannot deal with these communists. They have no God. So they can tell, they're like the bad Muslims. You know, that the majority of Muslims that believe in jihad and that beautiful religion has been hijacked by a few peaceful people. You cannot trust the Russians. Ask Patton. Now Russia and Iran are splitting Syria, Iraq, and Afghanistan. Once Putin tells Obama to leave, yeah, he's going to tell him to pull out of Afghanistan. But the big prize is the GCC countries, the little guys with all that oil. 2 million Kuwaitis. I think it's four women to one man. How are they going to fight anybody that comes their way? 2 million of them, and they got all that oil? Oh, communists don't like that. And Saudi Arabia. Oh, that's it, man. You'll be paying $500 a gallon of gas. Yeah. The little guys with all that oil are the real target. 1 hour before Little Pearl Harbor, a Russian general stormed into the Gay Pride American Embassy in Baghdad and told the sissy boys they had to vacate Syria because Russia was starting to bomb a city that had no ISIL in it. Because they were killing, and I heard Mike Savage, I couldn't believe Savage. He's become a T-boy for Putin. Savage is saying, well, they have to kill the new Syrian army first and get them out of the way. And then they're going to fight ISIS. Why not fight ISIS? Oh, no, because what's his name is not a bad guy. Assad, he's better. He's the lesser of two evils. You know what? We've been voting for the lesser of two evils for at least 20 years. And look where it's gotten us. President Clinton sent an invitation to bin Laden and let him come twice to kill us when he could have killed bin Laden. But he's a man of peace. Yeah. And many pesos. 1 hour before Little Pearl Harbor, a Russian general stormed into the Gay Pride American Embassy. Why do I call it the Gay Pride American Embassy? Because they had a Gay Pride parade inside the embassy. And can you imagine the Iraqi servants and dishwashers and employees that were inside that embassy and saw that parade. Can you imagine that night at the it's a tea festival they have at night. They sit around and they shoot the Shia. Diwaniya. The night when they go to have their Diwaniya at night, they sit around and say, well, how was it in the American embassy today? Says the men, they dress like women. And they dance around. They prance around. They show their tushies. They say, oh, we killed them first. And so the Russian general came in and he told the sissy boys to vacate Syria. And I flash back to a Patton story that was told to me once. When a lowly Russian colonel stormed into Patton's headquarters on the Elbe River and told Patton all the boats on the American side belonged to the Soviet side, he pulled a 45 from his desk drawer and he asked his staff, who let this piece of shit in here? The phone. And he said to whoever was on the other side, alert the 4th Armored Division, we're attacking the Russians. The colonel turned white and ran from the building. Now, what did he tell his superior officers who sent him there? What do we have today? No industry. So that means no defense, weapons, no government. They can't even stop the slaughter of innocent children. No military. They've sissified it. They've driven all the warriors out. Anybody that's still there doesn't trust them. And they're all being monitored by KGB officers. No money. We're $17 trillion in debt, and that's been done deliberately. So when we need money for arms, the excuse will be we can't afford them. Fight with what you got. But first we have to take everybody's guns away because we're going to need them. Yeah. Yeah, that'll be the day. I got to get that Everly Brothers song. Or no, that's a Buddy Holly song. That'll be the day. And the colonel turned white. I said that already. And so we got no money and we got no intelligence. And now the Russians won't even let us ride in the back of the American Jim Crow space shuttle. Putin has declared the Arctic his and planted his flag on the bottom where his Navy belongs. And when I come back, we'll talk some more. We're going to do a little gospel, because these gospel pastors are the only ones that are fighting communism. They're the only ones in their community that fight drugs and fight the abomination that is corrupting the entire black community. These little church pastors are all that stands between Armageddon for the African Americans. God bless these little black black pastors in the little churches.
I don't care how many contemporary songs they make, I love old school gospel.
I need a hand clapping, foot stomping.
I need a church.
Church, for I can pray this name. Hand clapping, foot stomping. Church, for I can pray this name. I've got to get to the altar to leave my burdens there. Need a church where I can pray His name. I need a hand clapping, foot stomping.
Come on, hands.
Church, where I can pray His name.
Oh.
Hand clapping, foot stomping.
A church.
Church, where I can pray His name. I gotta get to the altar to leave my burden there. I need a church where I can pray.
Church that don't mind praising the Lord. Need a church we all don't want to call. But we dancing, shouting away from morning to
Okay, we're back. I had to do that little tribute. I like to give tributes. There's a headline I'm going to make you aware of. This phony bastard, governor of New York, who never should have been elected, but New York is communist. We got a communist mayor. And I hear people saying they hope New York gets nuked. Hey, fellas, you give me a heads up so I can get out of here. I'll go to the Alamo. I'll stand on the wall with you. Yeah, you know, we had 911 New Yorkers too, you know. We had guys that ran up to the top of tried to get up to the top of the World Trade Center. They knew they weren't coming home. Just like the guys of World War II that got on the boats to go to Europe. They knew they weren't coming home. They fake making believe I'll see you, but in their hearts, they all felt they were dead men. How many were there? 4 million? What was the population then? 150 million? Now we got 310 million, and half of 1% is all that's left to defend the nation. And they're all volunteers. And if the draft came back tomorrow, you would hear the thunder of hoofs heading to Canada. And if Canada got wind we were coming, they would close the border. They'd be building a wall because they seen the crap that went up there the last time. Yeah, unbelievable. Anyway, this maggot, Andrew Cuomo, who was raised by his father maggot, he threatened to shut down the government if they don't get a real gun control law. He threatened to shut down the government. And somebody said Cuomo would underbid Judas by one piece of silver. The only time he shows a shred of decency is Mother's Day when he takes the for sale sign off her back. If we get nuked, I hope it is where he is, and then he can ban baking. And besides that, another guy says you can always buy guns from the Democrat drug dealers. And he was at a eulogy for a lawyer that got killed by a stray bullet in a ghetto. You know what a ghetto is? It's a poor neighborhood that the Democrats bring drugs into. And now they got a picture of him. He's in a communist uniform. And the caption says, is the far right conspiracy, if the far right conspiracy is willing to shut down the government because they don't want to fund the privately owned baby killing factories, then our far left wing socialist kooks should be able to shut down the government so we can mandate our gun grab. I mean, real gun control. And that will take the guns away from the law abiding citizens and give them to undocumented Democrats. I mean immigrants, okay? And somebody else, and Jane says, I suppose a state attorney's life is more important than Kate's. I didn't hear any outrage from him when she was shot and killed by an illegal repeat criminal. The demo creeps stopped Kate's law from being passed, but now they want to get tough because one of theirs was killed by a stray bullet. Some years ago, YouTube had a clip of a lawyer coming out of court, and a guy who he got a verdict against was waiting for him with a pistol. And the lawyer was hiding behind the trunk of a tree, and the guy with the pistol was trying to get the gun around this big tree to shoot the lawyer, and the lawyer kept ducking every time the guy set up to pull the trigger. It was really funny. Yeah, you know what else was funny? A guy smuggled in his shotgun to a court in California, and the guy that was standing trial pulled the shotgun, put it to the judge's head, and then he taped the shotgun to the judge's head around his neck with the gun pointed at his head, and he tried to escape. And that's what happens when if that judge had a gun, he would have had a chance. And some judges do carry guns. And Ronald says, hey, Andrew, ever hear of the Second Amendment? You filthy communist POS. I don't know what that is. BTW, I think that's by the way. I believe you're protected 24/7 by gun-toting bodyguards. Are you special? And somebody said he's afraid of a shutdown. He's afraid of a government shutdown. Rule number one, you must learn as an American. There's two rules as Americans you must learn. The strong must always protect the weak. Unborn, infirmed, walking wounded, the strong must always protect the weak. That's the American creed. Apparently, the bad Muslims haven't learned that yet. And rule number two, anybody who wants to take your guns away intends to kill you. And you can take them to the bank, El Banco. And speaking of El Banco, when all of these people say we didn't have to go to Iraq, did you know that Saddam Hussein paid $25,000 for every dead Jew that you could prove you killed? And he paid them out of a bank in France, Bank Paribas. And I think he was paying $35,000 for Americans, but definitely $25,000 a Jew. And you know what? It's good that Bush stretched his neck and also killed Nancy Pelosi's two sons, Uday and Kusei Pelosi. Yeah. Chuck Berry. You want to hear Chuck Berry? You want to hear a song about Cleo and Mio?
There's Cleo and Mio and the baby crocodile. We live on the Allegheny River, Pittsburgh's about a mile. When Cleo feels free, oh, well, the dancing gets so wild. You'd swear that the Allegheny River was the River Nile.
Digging for coal to make an honest dollar. The foreman screams, it's 5:15, but he don't hear him holler.
I dug so far, I do declare, there's Cleopatra standing there.
If you don't believe it, come along and see it. There's Cleo and me, oh, and the baby crocodile. We live on the Allegheny River, Pittsburgh's about a mile. When
when I asked her rage and she flew in a raging when I start to tease her.
I say you can, don't treat me bad or I'll go back to Caesar.
But dear, the way your kisses burn, it took 2,000 years to learn.
Cut it out, you flatterer. The crocodile begins to smile and I begin the wiggling.
I sit upon a bag of coal and try to use my self-control.
But when a dance gets fiery, she brings out my Irish.
Headline is breaking. how just one woman had defrauded food stamps for $3.6 million. Convenience store owner Vida Ofori Causey out of Worcester, Massachusetts, was at Worcester, Massachusetts, was charged in federal court Monday. She pled guilty to $3.6 million worth of food stamp fraud. According to authorities, Causey abused the program between 2010 and 2014. Food stamps, officially known as the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP, is run by local and federal agencies to be discontinued upon the arrival of Donald Trump. It is overseen by the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Ooh, I'm for the farmers, but you guys are not for the farmers. You're farming cash. She was able to scam the program by buying food stamp benefits from receipts for half the actual value. What does that mean? That the people would come in and she would offer to buy them, give them cash for the food stamps for the half of the value? Causey purchased the benefits at a discounted value of approximately 50 cents for every SNAP dollar. A press release from Department of Justice stated, by doing so, Causey caused the USDA to electronically deposit into a bank account controlled by her full face value of the SNAP benefits fraudulently obtained. That's the end of the story. It will be gone by tomorrow. I'm not reading the responses. They're very racial. Let's see, this woman is pretty reasonable. What? Is she training to be a future politician? Not only should she be in prison or forced to get a job and spend the rest of her life paying it back, but who else should be in prison with her? How does she manage to steal $3.6 million in less than 4 years without help? Or the most incompetent government employees? Who should be in a cell next to her? Well, Trump is coming. There won't be that many employees anymore. They're going to have to make do. This is nothing new. They do it in Las Vegas all the time. And so they take the money to go play the casino. And this guy is calling Obama a prophylactic name. He's saying President Obama must think she looks like his daughter, the first welfare princess. This just proves conservative debt system is not needed. Benefits of government pays twice what you can make working, and you pay no taxes. That's true. When I was unemployment, I think was 2 weeks when I was growing up, and it was a disgrace if you collected unemployment. People would look down on you. One more piece about another federal government agency, but I have to tell you, I went away, and so did my brother, under assumed names, on a 2 week vacation in the summer under the Herald Tribune Fresh Air Fund. Yes, I was a little kid, and I was living a lie. But my folks couldn't afford to send me to camp, so they did the next best thing. They assigned us to a relative with a different name. And he signed us up, or she signed us up for the Herald Tribune Fresh Air Fund from her neighborhood where the poor kids lived. We lived where the rich kids lived. You know how you could tell a poor kid and a rich kid back then? When it snowed, the rich kids would come out of their apartment buildings with sleds, and the poor kids would come out with linoleum. Yeah, but in the summertime, we could still ride the linoleum, and they couldn't use the sleds. Will anyone be held accountable? Doubtful. A government bureaucrat is more likely to die at their desk than be fired. She's one of but thousands that defraud the government. And this is a compliment. She happens to be black, but there are hundreds of white doctors and chemists, compounders, bilking the government out of billions. That's true. As long as we have these giant government agencies with Cadillac and retirement and health programs for employees that cannot be fired, the debt will continue. For Americans paying taxes, thanks, suckers. And what this person is saying, the guy's name is Bill, what he's saying is very true. We have a neighbor that worked for an optometrist. And one day she went to work and the FBI was taking him out of his business along with all his books and records and computers. And he had bilked the government for many, many millions. And he was going to jail. Yes. But they can't get Bill Clinton or Hillary. Isn't that something? Why is that, mommy? I don't understand how she did this. It's confusing to me. Would somebody tell me how she did it? I can't seem to understand the way it's written. And somebody's helping her out. And she's a convenience store owner. All she has to do is turn the stamps she bought into government as daily income from her store and make 50 cents on her dollar every time the government pays, month or week, they didn't say. But she got greedy and got someone in the food stamp office looking at her small store. Would be my guess if she didn't offer a payoff when she was confronted. It would be my guess if she didn't. She probably did offer a payoff. It's the first thing people do. But you got to give up somebody bigger. That's the way the game is played. Okay, we're going to jump back up for a tune. Pray for Israel, my friends, because Israel is being sold into slavery. We'll do a little Latino. I can't do Latino. We'll go Come Fly With Me. You wanna come Back, My Love. That's a beautiful one.
Come back, my love.
Do, do, do.
Don't go away.
Do, do, do.
Come back, my love.
Do, do, do.
Come back to stay.
Do, do, do.
I love.
Do the
wang,
do the wang,
do the wang. I want you come back, my love.
When it's just
go away. I need your love every day. I love you so well. I want you to know. I need your love so badly. You say goodbye. I wondered why. All because of those silly lies. I love you so well. I want you to know. I need your love so badly.
Where doo-wop comes from. This gentleman, his name is Bob, has done an article calling Pope Francis the false prophet of Revelation Revealed? Question mark. And then he quotes the Bible and he attacks the gay community and he attacks the Catholic Church. And then at the bottom, he describes his life. I was raised Catholic and spent 8 years in the prison they called the school. I got to tell you, if every school was a Catholic school today, you wouldn't have fifth graders giving BJs in the hallway. You have no idea what's going on in communist cucumber schools. Catholic school education is the finest you can get. And you know what the greatest threat was when you were in Catholic school? If you fail, mister, you're going to public school. Yeah. Oh, wrapped on the knuckles, punched in the head. I had a customer of mine come in the store. He went to a Catholic high school in Brooklyn. And apparently the boys in Brooklyn didn't do their homework. And it was a Irish Christian brother. And he locked the classroom door. And he said, today we're going to play house. And everybody's going to be a door. And he beat up the entire class. And I know, man. I know. I had a Latin teacher in high school. Great guy. Great guy. You know what he used to do at night? The school was across from the 30th precinct in Harlem. He used to go there and sit and BS with the cops and the detectives. And he kept an eye out for any of the kids from the neighborhood that were being brought in and booked. And if he knew you, he got you off the hook. He was a good guy. He was also a chaplain for the National Guard. And he liked to hunt. He liked to fish. And God bless him. He's in Valhalla now with the good priests. And he used to teach Latin. And if you didn't do your Latin assignment, he would make you stand and say, conjugate a verb. And you couldn't do it. And he said, that was your homework. You didn't do it. He said, yes, Father. He goes, I stay standing. And goes, you help him out. You conjugate the verb to the guy in front of me. And he goes, I didn't do my homework either. He said, okay, you stand. Goes to the next guy. You help him out. Help them out. He goes, no, I didn't do it either, Father. He says, okay. When he got through doing the roll call, he turns to this one kid named Olive. And he says, Olive, he gives him a penknife. He says, go down to the yard and cut me out a nice switch. Olive's got a big smile on his face because he thinks he's getting off the hook. And he goes down, he comes back with a nice switch. And then everybody had to put their hands out. And he went down the aisle like he was a swordsman. Whack, 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 whack. Then he graduated. He graduated from the switch to a broken fly fishing rod. And then he graduated from the fly fishing rod to a drumstick, because he was also in charge of the drum and bugle band that he started. And that was life in Catholic high school. And at the time, this was in the 50s, And the movie Blackboard Jungle just came out. It was about a public school in New York with racial overtones. And it was about the students beating up the teacher. The teacher committee brought his collectibles of classic music. And the students took over the classroom and they beat up the teacher and they broke his records. And so Father Kowski decided that he would play the teacher and we would be the students in the Blackboard Jungle. And I don't know how I got it, but I ended up with a water pistol. And I squirted him as he came down the aisle to get us all. And uh, And everybody cracked up. And then he dragged me up to the men's room, and he stuck my head in the sink, and he put it under a faucet. Then he brought me down with my head all wet and sat me back down in the classroom. But it was all good fun. And we were better because of it. And there was an incident, a racial incident, I'm in Harlem, all right? And I'm coming down from uptown to this school. And I come out of the subway, the 8th Avenue subway, and I notice all of the garbage cans have stickball bats in them. All the way to the school, it's a 2-block walk. And there's all kinds of bats in the garbage cans. And then I get in the classroom and I find out that there's going to be a gang war. And the school is going to be fighting the local neighborhood. And the priest and the brothers got wind of it. And Father Kowski said, when a white man fights a white man, that's a fight. When a black man fights a black man, that's a fight. But when a white man fights a black man, that's a race war. And we're not having any of it here. And the entire faculty marched all of the students to the train to make sure that they all got home safely. And what do you got today? You got teachers calling for cops and guards in the classroom. So this guy is saying that he was in a prison in a Catholic school. And he was taught not from the Bible, but from a catechism. I had a Bible. Being left-handed made me demon-possessed, according to the Middle Ages. Attitudes of the torture masters they called nuns. You see, man, this guy is sick. Nuns are the most beautiful people in the world. I've been roughed up by nuns. I can give you a good story. Coming up out of Harlem, our church was burned in a fire. So they had to find a school for us quickly. We went to St. Joseph's on Convent Avenue in Harlem, and we took the school bus. And coming back on the school bus from school, a guy behind me was smacking me in the back of the head. So I stood up to hit him, and the nun caught me. And she said, Mr. So-and-so, Mr. O'Donnell, you sit down. And you're going to be punished when we get back uptown. And I said, sister, Johnny O'Connell was hitting me in the back of the head. She says to the bus driver, stop the bus. Come here, Mr. O'Donnell. She takes me off the bus. She takes me all the way to the back wheel of the bus. And she goes, you little stooly, punch, punch. Puts me back on the bus. Yeah, okay. So that's it. You live and you learn, right? Some people have to learn the hard way. But nuns are beautiful, and they dedicate their whole life to Christ. They're the bride of Christ. And, of course, Hollywood will always destroy him, but Hollywood is communist operations. Hollywood is to destroy the moral fiber of the country. That's their goal. That's their objective. We went from free speech to free porn. And then he's also saying that he was taught Catholics only Catholics would go to heaven. but that's not true. As a matter of fact, there was an incident in the school where we had a Jewish guy, and somebody called him a dirty Jew. And everybody got marched down to Monsignor Buckley's office. And the first thing Monsignor Buckley said was, you know, our Lord and Savior was a Jew. And everybody got real sheepish, and they apologized to the guy. And that was the end of it. You got a nip shet in the bud. And that's what we're not doing. And that's why 1 out of 5 Americans is a drug addict or dependent on drugs. And the suicide rate is getting higher in the country. And among some groups of people, it's even higher. You see this girl that was going out with, what's his name? The actor that played that's a comedy actor. Is it John? I can't remember his name. but you know who he is. He makes all the crazy faces. He's real zany. She was 26 years old. She's going out with this guy. She was an Irish girl from Ireland. And she took an overdose of pills. There's a lot of PTSD that's non-military out there. A lot of PTSD comes from children of divorced families. Their life, their childhood was destroyed. They lived in a beautiful bubble, in a beautiful world, that eventually they would grow up and learn that life is not as pure as we'd like it to be. But at that point in time, they thought their daddy loved their mommy and mommy loved daddy, and we were all going to live happily ever after. And then they went through a nightmare. You think they're whole people? Half their heart has been torn out. And not everybody reacts the same way. Some people get depressed and eat themselves to death. Some people do drugs. Yeah, so don't overlook the walking wounded. And as a boss, let me tell you something. You never abuse your help. And you never, never fire somebody nastily. You don't treat them like a criminal, even if they are a criminal. Treat every employee like he's crazy and he's got a gun. And you'll do fine. I had to lay people off, or I had to let people go. It was the most gentle letdown they ever had. Some of them didn't even think they were fired. Yeah. But when I see guys, I saw something. Oh, I know what it was. It was a relative of mine. And we were at a restaurant. And the waitress came over. And you could see the woman is, she's in her 40s, late 40s. And she's breaking her ass. And we're all sitting there. Everybody gives her the order. And one youngin who hasn't learned the manners yet is talking to a girl across the table, and the waitress says, "And what would you like to have?" And he says, "I'm talking here. You come back later." So she comes back later, and he goes, "I'm still talking. You come back later." And after the bill was paid and the waitress got an extra tip, I pointed out to El Jerko that you never do that again. That you never, never do that again. And then I sent him a book on how to be a gentleman. There is such a book. But anyway, that's it. You got to learn how to be nice. And I'll tell you even a better one than that. I won a trip to New York. My wife and I, we won a trip to New York. We're from New York. It was a national contest and an auto parts contest by a company called Eklund Manufacturing out of Brantford, Connecticut. And they had four national winners in a contest. They had a guy from California. They had a guy from Texas. And I think they had somebody from like Minnesota and us. Everybody got train tickets. Everybody got plane tickets and a hotel room. We got a subway token and a hotel room. But we got taken to a big, fancy restaurant for dinner. And the sales manager for the company was a jerk. And, of course, he was paying the bill. So what he did, now this is in New York City, in a fancy restaurant. And in a fancy restaurant in New York City, all those waiters, many of them, own homes on the Côte d'Azur in France. They work part-time, and then they go back and live the good life. And this guy is crapping on the waiters. Every one of those waiters made more money than he did. And about 6 months later, he was out of a job because somebody else must have picked up on his bad habit. So that's what we got to do. We got to get a little religious. We did a gospel tune. Harry Reid. You heard about Harry Reid? He's having an affair. Did you hear about this? He's got a second wife. And nobody can get to see her. But they can hear her. Would you like to hear her? Harry, is that you? Go away, I'm on my honeymoon. You got a cow in there, Harry? Okay, here's a Hillary Clinton song.
Crazy little mama comes knocking, brother knocking at my front door, door, door. Crazy little mama comes knocking, knocking at my front door. Crazy little mama comes knock, knock, knocking just like she did before. Woke up this morning with a feeling of despair, looking for my baby and she wasn't there. Heard the one knocking, much to my surprise, there stood my baby looking in my eyes. Crazy little mama come knock, knock, knocking just like she did before. If you got a little mama and you want to keep her neat, keep your little mama off my street. Same thing will happen like it did before. She come knock, knock, knocking at my door. Crazy little mama come knock, knock, just like she did before. Crazy little mama come knocking, brother knocking at my front door, door, door. Crazy little mama come knocking, knocking at my front door. Crazy little mama come knock, knock, knocking just like she did before.
Knocking
at my door. Crazy little mama come knock, knock, knocking just like she did before. Crazy little mama come knock, knock, knocking just like she did before.
Signing off. I just wanted to give a plug. Two things I want to mention. They're saying Trump is going down in the polls and everybody's coming up. Don't believe it. Don't believe it. Trump is going to be just right. And I'll tell you, if Trump wants 15 more points in the polls, all he has to do, and he doesn't have to spend a dime, and that's what's killing them. He's getting all free advertising and they got to pay for it all. And it's driving them all nuts. All Trump has to do, and they somebody mentioned, you're not paying anything, and he started laughing. All Trump has to do, if he wants 15 more points in the polls, is to announce tomorrow that he is going to call for donations to build a veterans hospital, privately run, with instant check-in, and you get taken care of, and you don't leave until you're completely cured and helped. And Trump will pick up 15 points in the polls just by making that announcement. And then I'm going to turn to another guy who's really, really for us. And nobody's paying attention to him. Nobody is back in his, nobody's got his back. He's out there all by his lonesome. That's Ted Cruz. And I happened to turn on C-SPAN while he was talking. And he was attacking both Democrats and Republicans. And he was calling them to task. And he was accusing them of not doing their job. And his speech was beautiful. And it hit home. It would resonate with anybody that listened to it, but you'll never see it because the media has a way. They have a big conservative eraser. And they said, your time is up. And he says, I'm not finished. I'd like to get a few more minutes. They said, your time is up. He says, I can speak until I'm finished? Go, no, your time is up. And they cut him short. And he said, look, America, this is what they're doing to freedom. Ted Cruz could use your help. Even if you're not going to vote for him, send the money so he stays in the game. But I got to tell you, he's Alamo Cruz. He's going to be there. He's going to be there when the last dog is hung. And you might be the last dog because World War III is coming and we're all invited. And we got a lot of catching up to do. Our enemies are stronger. And if I hear one more jerk, one more a-hole say we're the strongest nation on the face of the earth, like John McCain said. I think it was John McCain. But they all, I know who said it. Oh, man, Juan Williams. He has no idea what it takes to be the strongest nation on the face of the earth. And he's out there boasting. He reminds me of a guy that had a big brother that was tough. And he used to go around boasting that he was tough too. Juan Williams is a disgrace. He was abused. He was sexually abused by NPR, who sold him. Who sold him out in exchange for money paid by the Qataris. Juan made a mistake. He said that he was afraid of Muslims. They scared him. And for this, he lost his job. And all his allies turned their back on him. And who picked him up from the street and played the Good Samaritan? Fox. And what did they get in return? They got an NBC mole. Like Geraldo Rivera is an NBC mole. Unbelievable. And I got to pay a tribute to one woman at Fox who's got it, who knows the real story before they change it. And her name is Jennifer Griffin. I believe it's Jennifer Griffin. She's a great mom. She's a great woman. And she is 100% up on what's going on in the Pentagon. And I got to tell you, if Patton was alive today and he walked into the Pentagon, all you would hear would be slaps, screams, gunshots, and people jumping out of windows because this Pentagon is not up for the game. And Ass Carter is a fool. He is a babbling idiot. And good riddance to Dumpster Dempsey. He's beating it before the shit hits the fan. They're all bailing out. They're all retiring because they know that there's a big mess coming and we're going to have to dig out from under it. Good riddance, Dumpster Dempsey. You covered up Benghazi for the communists. May you end up for your sins. If I'm correct, you should end up in boiler number 3 with Ted Kennedy and Joseph Stalin. Okay, so having said that, we are out of here. And for any kids that are up at midnight and want me to play Put Down the Ducky, we'll do a quick one for the boys in Tennessee, who might be the only ones left when the nukes go off. Those rebels. And that guy may not have never been a Catholic, too. It just dawned on me. I thought I'd share it with you. Have a nice night. God keep you safe. In Arabic, it's Fi Amanallah.